In the morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, how are you today? You're listening to the St. Mark Bemidji Sunday Edition podcast, brought to you by Pew Brand Cheerios, feeding your kids off the church floor during a long sermon since 1941. This podcast features a replay of our Sunday sermon, or on occasion a sermon from another sister church. If you enjoy what you hear today, you might also enjoy our weekday devotions, which you will automatically get if you subscribe to this podcast. Additionally, you might consider sharing it with a friend. Each and every podcast has a share link in its description, which can be found in the same podcast app you're listening to right now. I've tried to make the link to it obvious. Let me know if it isn't, or if you have any questions or want to make a comment at john.kirk@stmarksbemidji.org. Share God's Word, because God wants us to all come to be with Him forever. Today's sermon is from our home congregation here in St. Mark and Bemidji. It's titled, Look and Live. It's based on this reading from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake, and they put it up on a pole. When anyone was bitten by a snake, and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. May God bless our time together in the Word today.
In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, who was lifted up that we might look to Him and live. Amen. How bad is it? How bad is it? I don't want to look. Have you heard those words before? Maybe you've said them yourself after some kind of injury. Maybe you've heard your kids say that after they fell off something on the playground and they cut up their knee really bad. I don't want to look. I don't want to see it. I think it was Otto who did that once. He fell off of something on the playground and he skinned his knee really bad, and he didn't. I needed to roll up his sweatpants to see how bad the scrape was, and he was like, no, 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 I don't want to see it. It's something that's disgusting. How bad is it? A broken bone, a gaping wound, a sight that is dreadful, something that terrifies, something that sickens, something that we don't want to look at, because it shows us the truth. That something is not right. Something is not the way that it should be. But you have to look. If you're going to treat it, you have to look. You have to look at it if you want to live. Such is the nature of sin. Oftentimes we don't want to look at it. We would rather hide it away or try to bury it or to cover it up in some way. We don't want to look at the terror that sin brings. The world, the world around us, the unbelieving world, they will cover over those who don't believe in the Word of God. They will cover over those things that the Ten Commandments speak against, and say, well, everybody does them, so they're acceptable, they're socially fine. They don't look at what sin actually is. And we, in our own, having sinful natures ourselves, we know what this is like. We don't want to look at sin either, or consider how awful it really is. This Bible story from Numbers chapter 21, I shouldn't say story, I should say account, for that's what it is. From Numbers chapter 21 is not an easy Bible story to hear. It's not one that is easy to preach on. It's not one that is easy to teach on. And to give you a little context about what's going on here, the 40 years in the wilderness was almost at an end. Almost. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. Well, why did they have to go around Edom? In short, the king of Edom was not going to allow the nation of Israel to pass through. So the king sent out his troops. He prevented them from crossing through his land. So it was back into the wilderness. Now you would think, well, hey, 40 more years, what's a few more days? How bad could that be? But they spoke against God. They spoke against Moses. They cursed their luck. They were angry and upset. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Kind of like a so close yet so far. There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. No, never mind that it was given via miracle. Manna and quail. Well, it's just complaining, Pastor. And a list of quote-unquote horrible sins that exist in our mind. Is complaining really all that bad? Certainly not something that deserves death, right? We complain about a whole host of things on a daily basis, whether we say it aloud or think it in our mind. That's on a daily basis. Now expand that out to a weekly basis. How quick do you lose count over things that we complain about? How bad is it? Well, look at it. Examine one complaint. Just one. Do we realize that complaining, or have we ever considered that complaining is really tantamount to unbelief? Something that is seemingly as harmless as cursing our luck is the same as saying that we don't believe that God will work everything for our good? Or when we have a trouble, God says, come to me, pray to me. Yet we doubt the power of prayer. We don't believe because we look to ourselves for our own solutions. We don't trust that God will deliver us from whatever troubles us, as He has done 1,000 times before in our lives. Complaining is really tantamount to unbelief. Surely that doesn't merit death, though. Well, this text from Numbers tells us otherwise. They complained, then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. No, rather, this account from Numbers 21 highlights the severity of sin and what its wages actually are. Yet if your sinful nature is anything like mine, we read these words and wonder, how many died? Like, really, how bad was it? We consider it too harsh a punishment, unfair. Not to bring our Wednesday night theme into Sunday morning all of a sudden, but we put God on trial. We call God to account for what was done here. That this is what Israel had done, they had put God on trial. How could you lead us here? How could you bring us out into the wilderness to die? And we read these words and we say, isn't this harsh? Isn't this unfair? How could you do this to them? Their sin is our sin. Sin is sin. Complaining and doubt. No, they had to look at what they'd done. Israel had to look at what they'd done. Terrible as it was, they had to be brought into the knowledge of the severity of what they were doing. They had to acknowledge it. They had to call it out for what it was. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." Yet even they think that they have their understanding enough to know what's wrong, what troubles them, and how to solve the issue. Take the snakes away from us. They still think they know the solution. Yet even in this, the solution for their problem is not what they expect. The solution for sin is not what they wanted. It's not what they expected. And it seems like a natural way to go. Still, the Lord sent snakes. Can't He just take them away? No, the Lord leaves the snakes. He leaves the vipers. Because His solution to sin would be different than what they'd expect. Again, we see a parallel between ourselves and ancient Israel. When we have a trouble or when we have a problem or we are going through a trial, we just want that thing taken away. It would seem as though that is the best solution for what is going on. The thing that is causing me doubt, the thing that is causing me fear, the thing that is causing me trouble, I just want it gone. The thing that's causing me to complain, I just want it gone. Yet when sometimes removing whatever that problem or trial or trouble in our lives is would not be the best thing for us. St. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. The Lord chose to leave it. To leave it to teach him something. And the same is true with any trouble or trial in our lives. If it were simply gone, it wouldn't teach us where to look. If, for example, our trouble is our health, or we are going through some sort of health issue, we might want to simply be healthy again, but how quickly would we go back to just relying on our own strength or covering it over in our mind and thinking, for example, like, well, I must have just got better on my own. If our trouble is money and our solution is simply having more of it, How quickly does that money become a god of its own? When hardship or trial enter our lives, the Lord directs our eyes to His solution, which is often different than what we would expect. In the case of ancient Israel, He leaves the snakes. So Moses prayed to the Lord for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake, put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Nope, he didn't take the snakes away. They were still there. You could literally have one of these snakes clamped onto your arm, standing there, hanging off of you and staring up at that bronze snake on a pole and live. This is a little bit of an aside, but here's your fun fact, free fun fact for the day. I looked up what kind of snakes these were, or possibly were. And in the Hebrew, the translation is a fiery serpent, so presumably a red snake. And there is a snake that resides over in this area around Israel, and it's known as the Israeli saw scale viper. And on the list of endangered species, you know, some of these animals have been like cruelly hunted down and done away with. Nobody's worried about them, let's put it that way. There's a lot of them, and there's still a lot of them, and their venom is deadly. Not easily curable. So this bronze snake is put up on a pole. What is the hue of bronze? Well, in the sunlight, it's a reddish color. This bronze snake gets put up on the pole. And here what Moses is showing them is an object lesson in faith. This is not the natural solution to what you would expect. It's not the natural solution to sin. The snakes aren't gone. There's no contribution on the part of the Israelites. They didn't do anything to earn this. What are they called to? Put away their complaining. Put away their doubt. Look and live. Look and live. Have faith. Their viewing of this bronze snake was there to teach them to have faith, to look and live by the faith of God, by faith in God, in His promises. God was teaching them that they were saved by faith in Him. It was the fool, the unbeliever, who would say, "Look up at that snake and live? Why didn't God just take him away? You want me to look up at that pole? That's dumb. Nope, I'm just going to go back to my tent and die." It was the fool that would not look and live. Those who looked in faith were not disappointed. Those who trusted in the promise of God through His servant Moses were not disappointed. It's such a simple thing. Faith is such a simple thing, it almost seems too easy to simply trust. Simply trust in what God has done. Yet this is what God would teach His people. This is what He's showing them. Look to Me, put your faith in Me, and live. Whether it's the desert of a desert near Mount Hor, or 2,000 or more than that, almost 4,000 years later in Bemidji, Minnesota, during the season of Lent, the lesson is the same. Look and live. The snake on the pole was the object of their fear. It was a symbol of their doubt. It was the result of their unbelief. And the Son of Man lifted up on a cross is God showing the world the severity of sin, the punishment that sin garners. Too harsh? Unfair? That God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us? Jesus was the snake, the object of scorn, an object of derision. I can't help but think of the anguished words of Psalm 22 that were surely on our Savior's mind as He hung there dying. "I am a worm and not a man, despised and rejected." There hung a man who had done no wrong, yet was punished for what all mankind had done. How bad is sin? How bad is all sin? It's that bad. Even the little ones. Yet here hangs a man who, though all creation and God Himself seem to be against him, through trouble and through trial and suffering, up to his death, never for a moment doubted His Father in heaven. Did what we could not do perfectly. He bore cross and trial to the end gladly out of love for us. And again, we have a solution for sin that we didn't come up with. It wasn't just taken away. A solution for sin that we didn't expect. A solution for sin that we didn't see coming. That even though right now, though the venom of sin still courses through our veins, though we have the proverbial viper latched onto our arm right now, all can look to Him and live. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in Him. Brothers and sisters, in our remaining walk through Lent, recall these words and look to your Savior and live. Amen.
I sincerely pray that today's meditation on God's Word has enriched you. Didn't get enough of God's Word? Are you missing out on that in-person fellowship? We hold divine services right here in Bemidji, Minnesota at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Sunday school and adult Bible study is also offered between our Sunday services at 9:15 a.m. We also live stream our Sunday divine service at 8 a.m. You can ensure that you are notified when a stream is live or a new podcast is available by subscribing to our YouTube channel. It's easy to find by typing in St. Mark Bemidji in the search bar and clicking on the subscribe button. Want to listen to meditations the way I do every day? Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Go to podcastindex.org and search for St. Mark Bemidji to find us. This is our fifth year producing this podcast, and there is a large archive of devotional material online available if you want to learn more about God and His Word. Visit www.stmarksbemidji.org or look in the show notes in this podcast for a link to this and many other meditations on God. If you have any questions or you would like more information about our church and its ministry, please visit our website, which is once again www.stmarksbemidji.org. May God bless the rest of your day.